From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 28, 2008. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief at the GON Conference in Nashville, Tennessee.
This week we tackle the continuing battle between personal navigation devices, PNDs, and smartphones as resources for navigation. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
Last week, a bunch of sort of news tidbits popped up that highlight the challenges going on in the PND marketplace and the growth in the navigation marketplace that's occurring on smartphones. So what I want to do is just introduce a couple of quotes that highlight the different things that are going on. The first one is from Kim Fennell, the CEO of Decarta. And Joe, you were at the conference and actually quoted this in AllPoints blog. Kim said, CNAV really changes the game. Convergence is happening, and the ability to have a PND with a modem is the next iteration of the PND marketplace. And CNAV refers to connected navigation. Now, there are also two articles in Investor's Business Daily that took a look at this sort of navigation space. And there's some very interesting quotes here. The first one is from Jeff Evanson, who's an analyst at Darty. And he basically says, quote, this PND space is absolutely going in the crapper, unquote. And he cites a couple of factors driving that downturn, including the lack of innovation in PNDs, especially for the upcoming holiday season, which is always a big time for sales, market saturation, and competition for consumer spending on other electronics. And Michael Davies, a senior lecturer at the Sloan School at MIT, agrees, and he says, the days of the PND as a separate device category are numbered. Now, the good news in this space is what's going on the smartphones. Investor's Business Daily highlighted two of those companies, NIM Networks in Motion and Telenav, who are the number one and two providers of navigation technologies for the phone carriers in the United States. And while at this point, fewer than 10% of cell phone users are actually using cell phone navigation services, the numbers could go rapidly as more GPS-enabled phones hit the market. The good news from those two providers is that Networks in Motion has revenues exceeding $3 million a month with a 60% market share, and Telenav has much of the rest of that market share. So those areas are growing, those kinds of carrier-provided navigation on cell phones. So where do we stand, Joe? Are PNDs dead or not?
I don't think they are. I think that the big guys in this game, Garmin and TomTom, will probably figure out a way to make their connected devices work in this new marketplace when they've got such a real big challenge by the smartphone guys. And the reason I say that is that I think there'll be a number of new business models that they're going to come out with. I think that what they have been selling is primarily a one price for the ability to navigate. In the new world of connected navigation, I think what you're going to find is perhaps the price points coming way down and perhaps supplemented by location-based advertising. And I think that the big players, the Garmins and the TomToms, will get into that game, as well as the smartphone guy. I think everybody's going to vie for that new business model. You may see the prices come down very low. You may even see some really very enticing. They don't want to pay a subscription service anymore. I think that was one thing that came out at the Decarta event in their CNAV panel, is that this idea of a monthly paid subscription is problematic. And so what people are looking for, again, is to advertising to generate a new business model. And again, this location-based advertising market is very nascent at this point.
It sure seems like it's been taking an awfully long time to get to this connected nav situation. I mean, the Dash came out about a year ago now, and that's an internet-connected navigation device. And while you can do local search kinds of things, and at some point you'll be able to sort of use crowdsourcing to get information about traffic, it was pretty expensive, starting at about $600. And after a bit of buzz and excitement, it all but disappeared from discussions of navigation devices. So I don't know if that was sort of a first plunge into connected nav, and it sure doesn't sound like it was incredibly successful.
I think you got to take two use cases here, and starting with what we've got today. One is, of course, the dumb device in the car that is not connected, and then the smartphone situation now, and looking at the convergence of the two. What's happened with the iPhone is that has become a very, very relevant browser that is connected, and people are beginning to use it as a browser. I saw it last week demonstrated to me by one individual, and yeah, they certainly are very high on the ability to navigate with that, but that device is used for many, many different things. And so while you'd have to have some sort of holder to place it in your car, it becomes a little cumbersome to do that, even though it still may be good. And the idea, though, with the in-vehicle device being connected, I think you want to see your expectations may grow in terms of what it will do. And I brought this out in one of the blog posts in saying, what can you do for me if this is now connected? And I'm speaking specifically about updated traffic information, getting alerts, getting information that makes this kind of a real and alive device that what you would expect from connectivity. So I think that the use case here is, in addition to the business model, is going to change, and I want that device to tell me more information. But I think that still can be a separate device rather than going to a smartphone or an iPhone type of a situation. That's my opinion so far. I think it's a kind of a wait-and-see attitude that we'll have to take, but I just get the feeling that the two devices can survive.
Well, what is it still that's keeping the in-car device a separate device? Is it the fact that we like having the data local? Is it that we like the big screen? Is it that it's more focused on navigation kinds of things as opposed to an iPhone, which does a million things?
Yeah, I think there are two things, and one was brought out by one of the links. One is simplicity, and one is screen size. So I think those things are still major advantages to people. I think we assume that people are more sophisticated in their use of smartphones, and I don't believe that to be the case. I think the in-car systems have the advantage of both. Again, another use case. I have both kinds of devices. I have both a NIM-powered device on my Verizon phone, the VZ Navigator, and it is a bit cumbersome, but it's convenient. Whereas I get very good information, very good updated information, screen size is very small, and I'd be loath to try to look back and forth between my device and the road while I'm driving, so I depend on the voice-activated commands rather than looking at the screen. Whereas in the in-vehicle system, that screen size makes a difference to me. And in fact, it does so such that it almost helps me in looking at the road ahead, and particularly in night driving. If I look at the screen and I see a curve coming up and it's at night, that's almost a predictive use. My take is I want to go further with those in-vehicle devices, which is I want that now to be connected to real-time traffic information and real-time weather information, so that I am getting better things and better information. I think that's more conducive to the in-vehicle PND than it is to the smartphone, and for the very reason of the screen size and ease of use.
Right. Well, you say something that was brought out in one of the Investor's Business Daily articles, and that's that for many people, the smartphone-based navigation is good enough. It's not ideal. The screen size is not huge. But for the situations when they need it, they can make it work, as opposed to investing in another device. Now, the other thing that I think is going to really start confusing the marketplace is this issue of, if I have to pay a fee for my smartphone, then I have to, you know, I have to pay the connectivity fee to the provider, and then I have to buy a navigation service for $10 a month. That's sort of one option. And the other option is I'm going to have this connected device, which may be subsidized by ads, or some parts of it may be free. If there are new things in the PND market right now, it's things like free traffic that is supported by ads. Now, for now, much of that, except for the dash, is connected, but one-way connected. That is, the information is coming in. In fact, most of it comes in over sort of FM bands, as opposed to being able to actually surf the internet and so forth. This idea that you might actually have to pay for navigation on your cell phone and then pay a subscription to keep your PND in your car up to date, that feels like double dipping in a sense. I'm not sure that consumers are going to go for that.
But I think there are use cases involved. I use my phone-based NIM power device for business travel. I don't take my PND with me on business travel. That stays in another car that's used primarily for personal use. But if I'm on travel, I'm going to use either my phone and other people probably use their smartphone, as opposed to paying a rental fee at the rental car place to get a PND.
Right. Well, and there is sort of another wrench being thrown into this whole confused marketplace. And that's this whole idea that your car is going to be connected and, you know, what kind of operating system your car is going to have. And until now, Microsoft seemed to be sort of leading the way with that vision. And just last week, BMW popped up and said, we think, yeah, we need an operating system for the car and it should be open. So how about some of the other manufacturers work with us and we'll develop this open source car operating system. And then all the different applications that are written can run across all the different cars. So that's a whole another potential monkey wrench. I mean, I can imagine that, yes, we'll have this operating system and we'll have an app store for our cars, just like we have an app store for the iPhone and an app store for the Google Android phone, and they just announced an app store for the BlackBerry. So we will have an app store for our car. And in a sense, we can sort of watch what's going on with these smartphones in terms of the competition, in terms of the different operating systems, in terms of the percentage of applications that are free and fee, to help sort out some of what may be ahead for the navigation marketplace.
Again, the number of apps that are coming down the pike are impressive. Again, one of the things Kim Fennell mentioned to me, and I'm sure that statistics out there, is that there are 300 downloadable apps for the iPhone that have some element of location connected to it. And you're going to see that certainly in the BlackBerry App Store. And then to your point about what's going to go into the car, that onboard system that is used for navigation will be doing so many other things. It will be a browser. It will be a DVD movie player, you know, as they already are. It's going to be many different things. And there'll be certain expectations, again, given the use case. And of course, we haven't gone back to the topic of location-based advertising and what the model is, how are you going to pay for that. So you're really looking at three different use cases here: onboard navigation, offboard navigation, and then the smartphone device. But all you can say is that there's going to be some of the big guys in the player, not the least of which is the auto manufacturers, trying to make a buck at all of this.
Yeah, well, I'll just throw in my vote before we wrap up, and that's that I really do think that the PNDs are getting sort of squashed in the middle between sort of this connected car vision and the smartphones. I have to agree that the innovation there has just been very slow in coming, and whether that's hampered by figuring out the business model or the fact that only now in 2008 is Decarto, which provides the white label technology for these kinds of applications. Only now is it coming out with a connected platform. It's feeling like a little bit too little, a little bit too late. That's all the time we have for today. We invite your input on this topic of the PND versus the smartphone versus the connected car. You can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Before we go, ESRI would like to remind listeners that the deadline to submit an abstract for the 2009 ESRI International User Conference has been extended to November 14th. Users across industries and with all levels of GIS experience are encouraged to submit abstracts for possible presentation at the 2009 conference. For more information, visit www.esri.com/UC. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.